Welcome back to the War at 33 and a Third podcast. I'm Adam Barra.
I'm Benjamin Richardson.
Today we're going to be discussing the Beatles' 1968 self-titled album, which is more commonly referred to, of course, as the White Album. It's their ninth studio album and their only double album, and it is a very, very long double album at 30 songs and an hour and 33 minutes.
So me and Adam have selected our favorite tracks. We've cut it in half down to one disc, and we're going to talk about our 15 most essential tracks, we think, off the White Album.
Yep, get this thing down into a single album. Nice and concise. So we kept the opener back in the USSR.
Of course, classic.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, I love the lyrics. They're so funny.
It really is. I mean, it just has a very nice sense of humor about it.
Right. Dear Prudence is a classic. We had to keep that. I think lyrically, that's like a top point for John Lennon with the Beatles. Like that track, so beautiful.
Kept Glass Onion. Glass Onion is a sleeper for my favorite song on the album. Like the.
What do you mean?
Like I probably wouldn't pick it as my favorite, right? But I feel like it has a legitimate case. The self-references.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, on this album, there's a couple tracks where they're just calling themselves out.
I think, I can't remember which song it is, but there's, it's Savoy Truffle.
Savoy Truffle, they call it Obladi Oblada.
They do.
And on Glass Onion, they refer back to Magical Mystery Tour a lot. Like, Walrus vs. Paul.
Yeah, and they, it's like every other line is a self-reference.
It's just a Beatles reference.
If you're not a band at, like, the height of your powers, and if you're not just so good, like, that comes off as really stupid.
Right.
Because they're
only
so
the Beatles
great.
Could call out the Beatles.
Like only a band that great could pull that off.
Right.
Which I really, really like.
I feel like that would be so cringe if just some obscure band started doing that. I'd be like, what are they talking about? Yeah.
And then at the very end, the little strings, I really, really like that because that string is sampled on an MF Doom beat, actually, on
debut
album.
Awesome.
So that's the basis for that beat. So that was, I heard that actually before I heard Glass Onion. So I was like, oh my gosh,
so,
like, look at that.
Right,
the
reverse sample.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh, that's where that's from.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, have a connection there, too.
The fourth track we decided to keep is Obladi Oblada.
Yeah, I mean, that one, and once again, that's just fun.
I think that's really, like, famous song. You gotta include that.
Like, that's just
the cute story, marketplace.
Yeah, just peak sing-along.
I love the John Lennon, like, ad-libs in the background where he's like, if you listen closely, he'll like shout out like words in the middle of it. It's really funny.
And there's like laughing, like
yeah.
And Paul McCartney saying bruh before it was even a word.
For sure.
All right, so number five, we have While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
For me, this is like George Harrison's like one of his best songs ever.
Yeah, that's like a defining moment for him with the Beatles.
Oh yeah, and of course, it's worthy to note that there's an Eric Clapton feature on this. He's playing lead guitar throughout the entire track. And that's why the guitar solo is just amazing. I love that guitar solo. Ugh.
Yeah, that really is a great track. I mean, that's, like, it doesn't even seem super characteristic of them. Like, it doesn't even sound entirely like a Beatles track. It's just a beautiful pop song.
Right.
To me. Like,
I love, like, the crispy bass line in it, too. The doom, just keeping the rhythm. It's so nice. And the descending.
Paul really is a good bassist. Like, there's so many moments where I'm like, the bass just sounds really nice here.
Right. I think Paul McCartney is definitely, like, slept on.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. The next track we have is Happiness is a Warm Gun. So.
Yeah, that's not a sleeper pick. That probably is my favorite.
That's definitely up there for me.
For me, like, that's. Like, Revolution Number 9, of course, gets talked about quite a bit for experimentation. But to me, this is, like, close to that level, but it's actual pop songs. And it's, like, four distinct little, like, 45-second snippets just stitched together. And it just sounds so good. They pull it off so well.
I think some of the lyrics on this have stuck with me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mother Superior jumps the gun.
Right. And there's something about, like a lizard on a window pane.
Yep.
I love that one. But I just love the juxtaposition, like something super dark with like the really happy sound.
Yeah, it's like touch of a velvet hand. Like it's a really vivid image. Yeah.
Right.
All right, so next we have I'm So Tired.
Yeah. For me it's like a song that not a lot of people have heard of, but I think like Happiness is a Warm Gun and I'm So Tired is kinda like it kinda shows you where John Lennon's mindset is when he's writing this album. And for me, like, his songwriting just kind of gets really dark at some points, especially, and it's like exemplified by this track.
Yeah, it's a little it almost sounds like it's like bar music, almost like something you would hear,
like, right, dude, some guy just drunk, like singing about how his girl got swiped away.
All right, so next we have Blackbird.
Obviously, okay, we don't need to talk about that.
Don't need to talk about Blackbird. I mean, that's like, one of their most famous tracks.
Of course, it has, like, you know, beautiful. Paul McCartney's beautiful singing. I think the guitar, too, fantastic. Is just, like, one of the most... Guitar. I think it's one of the most iconic, like, acoustic guitar riffs or whatever ever.
I mean, they weren't really doing a ton of just no accompaniment, just solo with their guitar. That really wasn't.
Right. The only other one I can think that comes to mind is, like, Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on... what was that? On Help?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. At number, our ninth track, we have Rocky Raccoon.
Love this track.
Yeah. It's just a little fun venture into, like, folk.
Right, kinda. Yeah. Like, that definitely that heavy folk, like, storytelling kind of vibe. Like, it's got that Western vibe, you know, gunslinger type story. And it kind of, like, kind of has the same vibe for me as Buffalo Bill a little bit. Like, that Western
Bungalow Bill.
Is it Bungalow?
Right. Am I crazy here? I think it's Bungalow Bill. Continuing story of Bungalow Bill. Not a big deal. But yeah, I mean they're both kind of similar. I think Rocky Raccoon's better though.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I just like the flamenco lead in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To Bungalow Bill. Yeah.
And the children's chorus on Bungalow Bill to me gets a little grating.
Yeah, times. by the end of it you're kinda like, okay.
Yeah. All right. So at number 10, our 10th track, we have I Will.
Beautiful ballad. It really by is Paul McCartney.
Like, that sounds to me like something that would fit right in on Revolver.
Gotcha. Right,
I think
like
you
that.
Could slide it right in there.
For sure. Like that. It fits that poppy aesthetic that they're going for. Next on our list is Everybody's Got Something to Hide, except for me and my monkey.
That were, yeah.
I That's love just
like
how.
Like a short blast of energy. That's a really fun song.
I really like what is it? Sounds like it was like a cowbell maybe in that song.
Yeah, there's definitely cowbell.
Right, and I just really like how John Lennon's at a point where he can just say whatever he wants.
Yeah,
and people will listen to it, and he's really just showing that off, like, right here, and in Bungalow Bill.
Yeah, I mean, there's almost like the vocals on there verge on angry, almost.
Right, like, it's similar vibes to Your Blues for sure,
but it's like fast. I mean, Like, I probably wouldn't go so far as to call it proto-punk, but it kind of sounds like it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty fast and angry.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Stooges or anything. Like, it doesn't really sound that similar.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't have, like, energy of, like, garage rock acts of the, like, the later 60s. Like, MC5 and stuff.
Exactly.
But I definitely did think a lot of these songs have, like, that proto-energy on it that you're talking about. Like, I think Helter Skelter is a better song obviously.
And we'll get to that in a
bit. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. But Everybody's Got Something to Hide except for me and my monkey. Want to do a quick plug for the Feelies cover of that, which I believe came out in 1980. And that's a really fun little cover. Very tense. A lot of nervous energy there. Love the Feelies. All right. And number 12, our 12th track, we have Sexy Sadie.
Right. So, I believe this song is about a real-life person.
Really?
And I think it has to do with their trip to India, their famous trip to India. And I'm pretty sure there was, like, I can't remember his name. He was, like, a yoga teacher. But I think their relationship with him kind of soured. And I think this song is, like, about him.
Yeah. Like, the You'll Get Yours Yet.
Yes.
At the end. That's one of my favorite moments. Like, when the You'll Get Yours Yet repeats and doesn't go back to the, like, bridge, I guess. Like, says, You'll Get Yours Yet, and then he, like, says the chorus again, and it's You'll Get Yours Yet at the end. And then the song ends. That's one of my favorite moments on the album. It's a very good song.
It's great.
All right. Number 13, we have Helter Skelter.
Oh, yeah. So, a lot of history in this song. Obviously, this is a strong association with Charles Manson.
Yeah, unfortunately.
which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, considering the lyrics are... totally have nothing to do with that.
Yeah. it's kind of hard to figure out where,
but I mostly attribute that to just like the energy on the track. For me, this one has definitely the most energy. The bass line, if you listen to it just by itself, it just sounds horrible. It's just so
really pretty blown out,
it, you know, super picked. I think John Lennon was actually playing bass on this
one. Really?
on like a Fender jazz bass, okay. I think I heard. But yeah, this is technically the first heavy metal song.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you subscribe to that?
Helter Skelter is beginning in metal. But I definitely think like it had some energy that was before its time.
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless if you want to classify it as metal, I don't think you can dispute that it had a ton of influence.
Right, it's not like Black Sabbath is like, yo, y'all hear that White Album, you know?
Yeah.
Something worth noting on that song is that like Paul McCartney wrote that just to prove a point that he wasn't just a sing-songy guy that only wrote pop ballads, and he kind of just wrote that to prove critics wrong, and obviously he did.
I mean, his like full like throaty angry vocals, like those are I love when he goes into that great. Style. I love it.
Yeah, like I was about to say, like when I saw Paul McCartney live, the only thing he couldn't do now is like an old man is like those more like throaty tracks, like Why Don't We Do It in the Road, Helter Skelter. Those sounded a little bit rough on his old voice.
All right.
Next we have Revolution Number One.
Yeah, I mean it's just a classic, man.
Yeah, definitely a classic song.
I don't think there's a ton to say about it. I mean it's just nice.
Right, you know, it's iconic, obviously, the, you know, revolution,
that was
peace, hippies, John Lennon.
Peak of that era counterculture, you know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure the White Album has a different version than the single version.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure the single version is probably the version that's most famous. It has, like, the way more noisy guitar. I think, actually, other than Helter Skelter, I think this one probably has the most energy, the single version Revolution 1. Because I remember I was playing the White Album in my car with my grandma, like, way back when, when I couldn't drive, and she was like, this is a bootleg version, like, this isn't the right version. I looked it up, and there's two different versions, so.
Wow. All right, so our closer, our 15th track, we picked Savoy Truffle.
For sure.
Another Harrison composition.
Yeah.
Right?
A Harrison composition, for sure.
Another just kind of fun little goofiness. Another thing relating to Eric Clapton.
Right, so obviously story? George and Eric were buddy-buddy, but it's about Eric Clapton. He was going to the dentist, and I think George just saw him, like, eating candies, and he wrote a song about it. He was like, you gotta watch out.
Yeah, so. That would be all the candy references on that song. Savoy Truffle. That is our condensed one-disc White Album, but that is not to say that there is really anything wrong with the double album as it is. It is a little hard to sit through and listen front to back. Like, I've had challenges doing it, like, more than once or twice. But I think the sprawl is kind of what gives it some of its quality.
For me, I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah.
Huge Beatles
absolutely.
Fan. For me, this is like a super special Beatles album because one, it's the longest; it's the only double album that they released. Two, like for me, I feel like their songwriting like really starts to go their own ways like in this album, and I feel like this is the point in their career where they really can just do like anything, and it totally shows. Like, and that's where I think the charms come from. Like, there's some throwaway tracks, sure, but it's Beatles throwaway tracks, so
absolutely,
it's cool.
Yeah. The only thing that I would really say is just a complete throwaway track where it didn't really need to be there is probably Wild Honey Pie.
Right, and that's like where I thought the Beatles were just like doing whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's not horrible. I mean, there's some musical quality to it. I mean, it's...
I'd say like it's kind of a cool track as well. It's not that long, but
yeah, I mean it's less than a minute.
For me, that's like a huge surprise when you listen to that, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're coming off Obladi Oblada,
right? And then you get into
the poppiest
like that
things
super
they've written, and it's like down, down. This is the super off kilter.
Yeah, it's almost like you're like drunk listening to that.
That's pretty crazy.
And, you know, shout out to the Beatles referencing their own song. That's obviously a reference to the other song on the album.
Yeah,
Honey Pie.
Honey Pie. The real Honey Pie on side four is, I think that's a good song. That's like a spoof on vaudeville.
Oh, really?
Type stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Like the musical
honey
theater.
Pie, dun, dun. Yeah.
Right.
And I really like the, like, it's verging on spoken word at the beginning, like the early narration. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah. I find that fun.
She's hit the big time. In the USA.
Yeah,
that's a classic Paul McCartney moment.
Yeah.
But Yeah.
Yeah. Side four as a whole, aside from Revolution 9, which we'll talk about in a bit, that is probably, to me, the weakest side. Like even discounting like anybody's opinion on Revolution 9, like I just don't know if that it's good. Like it's not bad music on there, obviously, but I just don't know if it's up to snuff with the other three sides, personally.
I think you're right.
I mean, for
just taking a look at them, it's I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, for reference, for those of you who aren't familiar with the exact like vinyl sides, it's Revolution 1, Honey Pie, Savoy Truffle, Cry Baby Cry, Revolution 9, and Good Night.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's probably the weakest length.
Yeah,
I like a lot of those tracks. But
yeah, I mean, I can't think of any of them that I specifically dislike.
Yeah, same.
Right. I mean, we put Revolution 1 and Savoy Truffle on there, and Revolution 9 is the most like out there and startling moment on the album.
For those of you who don't know, that's like a sound collage.
Yeah.
Of what John Lennon try to depict as like the end of the world, and I think it's one of the longest Beatles tracks.
Yeah, 8:15.
Right, that's up there with Hey Jude. I mean, I'm not sure which one is longer, but
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But yeah, Revolution 9. Yeah, we can go and talk about that now. I mean, that's
sure. Okay.
It's very, very eerie. I mean, right. It's very atmospheric. You kind of get sucked in. There's no traditional instrumentation or strong structure. It's like tape loops and stuff.
Yeah, like some parts of it almost sound like a piano, like backwards, and it mm-hmm. makes like this really creepy kind of like melody thing mm-hmm. that recurs through it.
I mean, that's at that point in time, my understanding is that's what most experimentation in music was involved with, was like tape loops and stuff.
Right.
That's what Eno ended up doing. It's what a lot of people in Germany were doing at the time. Like mm-hmm. like Faust would do some of that stuff a couple years later.
I know, like Sgt. Pepper's kind of revolutionized the making of music by doing that.
Yeah. I mean the number nine.
That's like the most iconic.
Yeah.
Thing from
it
there.
It just kind of echoes throughout.
For me, a really iconic like vocal part in that is like I'm pretty sure it's John Lennon. You can't really pick out a lot of the voices.
Yeah.
But it's him going he's going like Ryan. And I don't know, as it goes on, it's like it just sounds like all these people like talking about nothing, all these sounds going by
mm-hmm.
but like as it goes on the second half, like you start hearing like fire and like people mm-hmm. chanting and like mm-hmm. riots. It's really actually kind of awesome.
So we didn't personally put it on our one disc cut down, but like I think we both agree it's a good, I don't even want to call it a song. It's a good piece of music.
Yeah, it's a good piece of art. I mean, it's not like when I first listened to the White Album, it's like I go straight to that number nine, but it's like, it's definitely a good listen. Like when I'm listening to it, I'm very entertained. It keeps me engaged. Yeah. But it's not something you should listen to back to back.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could stand a full album and stuff like that, but I mean, it's
Beatles B-sides, Revolution 9 outtakes. Yeah.
Revolution 10, Revolution 11.
The Revolutions.
Yeah, Revolution series. But yeah, but I mean, I'm not always wild about the sound collage style stuff like that, but I think they managed to make one that was able to hold attention and
for
have its own beautiful quality.
And just like the fact that it's like a Beatles song is just so weird to
me. It really is. I mean, they never made anything else close to being like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's
bizarre
a trip.
Stuff. And then it flows right into Good Night, which is like just like really, really, really lush strings. Just really like saccharine. Just like really sweet.
It's so sweet. It's almost like something you play for like a toddler going to bed. Like,
yeah,
it
plays like
a lullaby.
Yeah.
Of course, Ringo singing on that track, written by John Lennon.
Yeah.
Very beautiful melody.
Yeah, I think that one doesn't blow me away as a song on its own. I think it fits very well as a closer.
Right.
And it's. I really, really like the juxtaposition.
Yeah, I like the beautiful strings and the beautiful melodies coming out after the pure chaos.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was reminded of what you said about the Honey Pie, Wild Honey Pie.
Right, and it's like same thing with
Revolution 1 and Revolution 9. Yeah.
I guess, like, that's what our revolutions are going to sound like in the future.
I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know what the concept is. Maybe our revolution now is like asking for peace or whatever. But then, I don't know what the concept
turn to chaos,
is.
Chaos, I guess. Yeah. I mean, Yeah, that numbering system makes sense. I mean,
that's the way I thought about it.
My guess of the origin is the number 9 refrain. And I just thought it'd be funny since I already had Revolution. Yeah, Revolution 1 and Revolution 9. That's my guess, but I would not be surprised if there were a...
Right. Like, that song couldn't have been more random.
Yeah. It really is pretty crazy. I'm pretty sure there's some Yoko Ono influence at play there.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Like, I think she kind of put... My guess is she put them up to that, and I think I read something along those lines doing some research for this. Yeah.
It almost sounds like she's, like, in there at some point, too.
She is credited for some vocals.
I was about to say, like, there's some of, like, the female vocals, I feel like, mm-hmm. and that song might have been from her.
Notorious.
Okay, interesting.
Notorious experimenter, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, the most impressive thing, I mean, it's like, just going back to what Ben said, they were just doing whatever they wanted. The, like, absolute expanse of musical styles.
Right.
I mean, let's see. Like, Obadi Obada, I think the Wikipedia page says McCartney was doing, like, early ska there. I mean, Bungalow Bill and Rocky Raccoon are very folky.
Right.
Happiness is a Warm Gun is like a full suite of songs.
An alternative rock suite.
Yeah, packed into 247. I mean, Martha, My Dear. What would you call Martha, My Dear? That's definitely something. I mean, it's like very like jaunty piano and strings and stuff. Like, it almost sounds like a... Like, it almost sounds classical.
Old-timey.
It sounds like
ragtime era to me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's what I like that.
What genre would you say is, like, piggies? Would that be, like, Baroque pop, even, because of the harpsichord?
That makes sense, yeah.
I'm not sure what, like, constitute Baroque pop, but a lot of it is sometimes, like, the instrumentation.
Piggies is a little bizarre as well.
I'm a fan of it. Again, that's just like, you know, noise play too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like whimsical, more whimsical lyrics from John Lennon to come out.
Yeah, I mean, definitely one of their more anti-establishment songs.
Right.
That one's interesting. I mean, let's see. Why Don't We Do It in the Road? That's a little, that's like, I mean, verging on bluesy, I guess.
Yeah, for me, that's like, yeah, it's like a... Really aggressive blues track, mm-hmm. almost.
And then Your Blues, of course.
Obviously, blues. A blues.
I mean, tons of... and of course, there's tons of just, like, general, like, softer rock, pop songs. I mean, Julia, I Will.
Right.
Dear Prudence.
Do you know about, like, the origins of Julia?
I don't.
Like... I can't tell, like, when I'm listening to it, I can't interpret it if it's for his son, Julian, or if it's for, like, Yoko, because sometimes it's a little romantic in that song, even.
Uh-huh.
And then, or if it's for I think his mother was named Julia, or Julian, or something.
Okay.
Or Julia, I think. So, I don't know. That song's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat ambiguous.
Right.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much good stuff here, man. I mean, it really is, like, probably their richest in terms of content. I mean, and honestly, for being so big, there's less songs that I would consider filler than many other albums of theirs.
Yeah, honestly, like, this feels really put together for me.
Yeah, I mean...
I think this is, this might even be, like, my second favorite Beatles album. I think this doesn't get enough credit.
I mean, like, I love Revolver to death, but, I mean, there's probably, like, a higher proportion of filler on Revolver than there is here.
That's what I'm saying. Like Yellow Submarine, period. I hate that song. That song sucks.
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
that song, I'm sorry, but that song just ruined Revolver for me.
I can have some fun with Yellow Submarine, but it's definitely not my favorite on there.
Oh, jeez.
And there's some... I mean, I'm struggling to think of anything off the top of my head right now, but there are definitely a couple. Got to Get You Into My Life comes to mind. On Revolver as being like eh.
You think, like, so? Because that's like a beloved song.
Really?
Didn't Stevie Wonder cover that?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure.
I remember somebody covered that and it was like amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like loud.
You know, like those horns?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing. And the horns just kind of don't really...
They don't do it for
entirely
you.
For me.
Gotcha.
Doesn't really fit the overall theme of that album.
I definitely take Sgt. Pepper over Revolver.
Really?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sgt. Pepper's for me is probably like the most well put together Beatles album. Something else I wanted to say about the White Album, though, is that I feel like the songwriting of Paul McCartney just like makes no sense to me on this. Like he, I feel like really? He just went in opposite directions. Like I feel like, of course, there's the songs that are just classic Paul, like Lovey Dovey, like ballads, like Martha My Dear, and you know stuff along those lines, Honey Pie. But
what comes to mind is kind of being off the wall.
But I think for him, he was going in like two different directions, and then he had like more rockabilly stuff, like Birthday, Back in the USSR, and of course, Why Don't We Do It in the Road and Helter Skelter. Like, that seems like the complete opposite of, like, Blackbird, obviously.
It does, yeah.
And for me, like, John Lennon on this album, he's, like, really, I don't know, all the songs he contributes, almost all of them, at least, are kind of dark, in my opinion. Like, Glass Onion, it's not, like, necessarily a happy song. Like, Wild Honey Pie, I'm pretty sure he was behind that. Story Bungalow Bill, Your Blues, Happiness is a Warm Gun. It's, like,
yeah.
I don't know. He just seems like he wasn't in a happy place when he was writing this. I don't know.
Yeah. I can get behind that for sure. I mean, just while we're on the topic of songwriting, one thing that's interesting to me is, I mean, they made 30 songs, and George Harrison still only got 4.
Right.
I mean, I know that's probably pretty much in keeping with
What tracks they were doing.
So he had one on each side. He had While My Guitar Gently Weeps. He had Piggies. He had Long, 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 and he had Savoy Truffle.
Right.
So we ended up with 2 of his tracks on our condensed version.
So I kind of attribute like a lot of like the George tracks as being like super strong is that it's just like they wouldn't let him put anything on the album. Yeah. Right? Because in the Beatles, like John Lennon and Paul were like the songwriters, and George would just get like whatever, you know, he could.
Yeah.
So that's why obviously his first solo record was a massive double album, right?
Yeah, and I gotta be
honest. All Things Will Pass.
Yeah, I probably
like 2 hours,
something like that. It's very long.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
you gotta check it out.
Yeah, definitely check that one out. I probably like that one more than I haven't heard very many Beatles solo albums, but I definitely like that one the most of the ones I've heard.
For Beatles solo albums, I definitely think John Lennon has a great discog. I think his first solo record with the Plastic Ono Band is excellent. That's probably my favorite John Lennon solo record. Imagine, of course, has some of his most famous songs on it.
Yeah.
Mind Games is good.
Do you you like Ram by Paul McCartney?
I do. I like Ram quite a bit. I'm not as big of a solo Paul McCartney stan, I will admit.
Standing.
I do think Band on the Run is an amazing song. Bro. Really? I think he has some great singles.
Yeah, with Wings. The Wings, for sure. I mean, he's had some pretty serious longevity.
He's Paul. Definitely... I think we can safely say he's probably the best musician in the Beatles. I think he had the most like versatility. Like on the White Album, I don't know if you knew, but he actually does a lot of the drumming. Ringo stepped out of the band temporarily.
Yeah.
And he was just like being a baby. He was like, I can't deal with the fighting guys. I'm going to go home. And I remember John Lennon famously said in an interview, Ringo wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles.
I have heard that
one. And that comes from their sessions on
The White Album.
I'm pretty sure. Like the only track I know for sure that Paul McCartney's drumming on is Birthday, I think.
Like
for me that sounds like Paul's drumming.
Yeah, Birthday. That
sounds like a little bit like a throwaway to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's absolutely a throwaway to me.
Like at least lyrically.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. It's your birthday.
Yeah, it's kinda funny to me that's been like co-authored in an actual birthday song. That's kinda funny to me.
Right, dude. The Beatles are writing classic birthday songs.
Exactly. I mean, but I still find that one enjoyable to listen to. Like, because the rhythm...
I like the energy on it.
Yeah, the rhythm section is so propulsive. I was listening to that on vinyl the other day, and I was just kind of struck by, like, oh my gosh. Like, the bass and drums. Like, it's just killing me.
I love the energy before it goes back into, I think it's like the bridge, maybe, and you can hear, like, Paul McCartney, like, counting down, like, screaming in the background.
Uh-huh.
And then it gets in like the hug about, you know, we're going to go to a party or whatever. But I love that moment.
Screaming in the background. Another iconic moment on this album. I got blisters on me fingers.
Oh my goodness. At the end of Helter Skelter. That is like my favorite like Ringo moment probably. Yeah. Like that amazing drum performance.
Yeah.
I got blisters on my fingers.
And oh my God. I believe I was reading that was not on... Like, I think they released a single version of that where it was, like, where it quiets down, you know, on the album version where it quiets down and then picks back up for, like, a long, like, a, they kind of play it out, and mm-hmm. then Ringo yells at the end. Apparently, on the single version,
they didn't release the second ending?
Yeah. Like, they just kind of cut it when it faded out for the first time.
Yeah, that song has, like, two surprises, right?
What do you mean?
And so, like, it comes back after like, fades out, and then after it's over, Ringo just, you hear Ringo shouting into the... Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, Birthday to Your Blues. That's a that's rocking. I mean, that's like
great
hard stuff.
For sure.
For them. And then yeah, and then Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except Me and My Monkey on that side, and then Helter Skelter on that side. That's some loud stuff on that whole stretch.
Lots of energy right there, for sure. I mean, I didn't even think about that. That's like probably the most energetic stretch in the album.
And then I mean, right before that it was I Will and Julia, and I Will is just a little, I mean, like we said, kind of right in, fits right in on Revolver, or Rubber Soul. And then Julia is Lennon, that's Lennon's solo, is it not?
It's Lennon.
Solo with the guitar? I don't think there's any really real accompaniment on much.
I'd have to listen to it, it'd come back to me. I think there's maybe some backing vocals or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe,
yeah,
but
that's a very sparse and quiet one.
For me, a lot of people really like this song, but something about this just doesn't. I don't know. I think it might be the timbre of John Lennon's voice in this. Like, it's like a little croony, and it sounds like it would.
It is odd. I agree with you.
And for me, it just doesn't come off in a beautiful way, which is what it totally is what it's going for. And for me, it's like I like that timbre better in like a more of a rockabilly.
Okay.
But, and that's not to say I don't like John Lennon, like, acoustic bangers. Like, Across the Universe is amazing. Like, amazing song. But something about that just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like, I appreciate the lyrics of that song quite a bit. And I think it has a really nice melody. I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I do hear what you're saying, though. Like, his voice does sound
that's
a little,
just a personal.
Like, it almost, like, yeah, I mean, timbre. It just kind of sounds off. Like, when he says, when he's kind of. Making Julia.
Yeah, for me, it just sounds like so like thin to me. I don't know.
Yeah, thin's probably a good way to describe
it's
it.
Just not it.
I still think that's a very good song, personally.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that's that. Just a ton of classics on here, man. I'm not wild about "Don't Pass Me By," which, as we said earlier, I think
is the first Ringo composition.
Is Ringo's first. Yeah,
although it's not the first song he sings on "Yellow Submarine." With a little help from my friends, etc. But it's definitely the first one he composed.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like the dun dun dun.
That one, a ton of that reverb one for me on is totally country influence. Like the bass line going between the fists. That's totally a country thing. The dun boom boom, like going throughout it. Like, cause my grandma in the fiddle solo in it, like that's straight country. Like my grandma, she knew that song because she's an avid country fan and she recognized that.
Wow.
But I don't. That one definitely grew on me. The lyrics are a little weird. Like, you were in a car accident and you lost all your hair. I was waiting on you. I was scared. It's just like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah. And again, it's not horrible. I really don't think there are any like straight out
bad songs
on here. But that's definitely not. That is far, far, far from my favorite one.
Yeah, for sure. I can appreciate the country song though. Beatles attempted
and,
country.
Yeah, another example of them just kind of branching out and going all over the place stylistically.
For sure.
It's impressive stuff. So let's talk about, you said you would probably put this right behind Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, I think I would.
What would you put behind White Album?
Come on.
I'm interested to hear the Beatles nerd Beatle rankings.
Beatles nerd that said Buffalo Bill.
It's the guy from Silence of the Lambs.
Dude, that's Buffalo Bill. That's what I thought. Like, I thought there was some kind of connection between the two. I don't know why.
It probably is.
So I'd always heard it as Buffalo Bill because that's what I heard first.
Buffalo Bill was a Native American,
right?
Who,
I know that he's a famous Native American. Bush. I learned about him in A Bush as well.
I just remember he was in one of the tribes and he was forced to join
one of the reservations.
It was a native who was forced to join Buffalo Bill's traveling circus, I believe.
Oh.
He's like a prominent native leader.
Huh.
And something like that. Anyway.
Anyways.
Beatles rankings.
Oh, yeah. So, for me, like, Sgt. Pepper is, like, the first album I, like, listened to, like, period, mm-hmm. like, all the way through and, like, appreciated. So, that's just near and dear to my heart. Also, mm-hmm. it has A Day in the Life, which is, like, the best song ever.
I can get behind
like,
that.
It's one of my favorite songs ever. It's just, like, the perfect blend of McCartney, Lennon, writing, like, the poppy, like, happy Paul McCartney section and then the dreary Lennon. So, that's definitely number one for me.
And aside on Sgt. Pepper, that came out, that was the one that chronologically preceded this one, right?
No. Magical Mystery Tour actually came out later in 67, I think.
Okay.
I believe. And so I'd say Sgt. Pepper's number one. White Album's number two for me, just because there's no other Beatles album like that or has songs like that.
Mm-hmm.
Abbey Road third?
Wow.
Okay. I put it above Revolver. I like it better than Revolver.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, these albums are so good. It's like,
yeah, they're just top-notch quality all the way around.
It's just, like, personal preference, like, which Beatles album you like the best. They're,
like, it's just remarkable how well they've stood the test of time, and they just don't sound outdated at all.
For me, out of all of the four major British invasion bands, when I say four, I think of, like, the Stones, the Who, and the Kinks. I mean, of course, you have, like, the Zombies, but, like...
Yeah.
To me, they definitely sound like the most, what's the word? It's like ageless, like when I listen to Beatles. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. know. And not to say that those other bands aren't, but just Beatles the most.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, it's just remarkable to me, their mastery of melody and songwriting. Like, it's so often you get one or the other.
Right.
That's so great.
Yeah, like then, a lyrical genius.
Yeah,
right. I mean, like, they can't sing.
Dylan.
Right, exactly. That was the point I was making.
Yeah. Or,
you think of any great singers that can't write lyrics?
I mean, not necessarily can't write lyrics, like it sounds stupid, but I mean,
like, I know what you mean. Like, yeah, excellent lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, there are a ton of great singers that can't write excellent lyrics.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I can't.
I just think, like, the Lennon-McCartney duo is just probably, like, so rare in rock. Like, for that to happen, that perfect duo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you'd be hearing about them if they tried to have solo careers or they didn't
beforehand,
meet each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, exactly. I don't know what it would have happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good point. I mean, if they had started solo, would they have been as successful? Probably
right.
not
And
nearly.
I think you almost, like, when you listen to the Beatles albums, like, in a row, it's like you can almost hear them like going through phases and growing
mm-hmm.
as musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And by the end of it, they just like can work so well together, even if they weren't having the best time in the studio, obviously.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
what's your ranking?
Yeah, for my ranking, I hadn't really thought of giving a lot of thought beforehand, but in listening to this album a ton in preparation for this,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably gonna go for White Album at the top.
Ooh, number one.
I think
Big
so.
Big W for White Album.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so right. This is so important. This is a huge deal. White Album made it at the top of my Beatles list. Huge deal for the Beatles.
Tweet about it.
Tweet about it, guys. And then I'd probably go Revolver has on the back half to me a decent amount of filler, but those it's just some of the prettiest songs I've ever heard. I mean, For No One
No One is amazing.
Here, There and Everywhere, Love You Too, Eleanor Rigby. She said, Tomorrow Never Knows. I don't think I might have said that already. But it's just so beautiful. That's got to be my second.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go... You're going to be mad it's not Sgt. Pepper. But I'm going to go...
You're going to go with Abbey Road.
I'm going to go with Abbey Road.
I mean, that's solid.
Yeah. The medley is probably my favorite like individual thing.
On the B side, I think it is, of Abbey Road.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the part that Lennon wrote. It's all just like a huge melody between Paul and Pam, like Me and Mr. Mustard, The End, Golden Slumbers. And I will admit, that's like an amazing musical moment.
Yeah, I love it so much. And then I'm a relatively recent convert to Sgt. Pepper's.
Right.
I used to just find it not very engaging, but I've come around to it. I would put that at fourth now.
Because, you know, like, that's an album that's consistently ranked as, like, one of the best albums ever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just so, like, non-divisive. Like, everybody can get behind that as being, like, such a great album. You know what I mean?
I don't know. That definitely, that Beatles album took the most recording time. Really? By far. I think that was, like, over 700 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
To get into the album. I don't know. I just think of that album as being, like, one of the most, like, seminal albums, like, ever, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge deal. I mean, for the album, as a whole, as an art form, I mean, it just did so much.
Right. Like, people really thought of album as being like a cohesive,
artful
thing,
not a compilation of songs.
Right. If you listen to, you know, albums from the 50s, it's just like a singles compilation, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely got to give it a lot of credit there. It is good music. I'd get Rubber Soul.
You go Rubber Soul.
Yeah.
I think I'd put a Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah, that's never really stuck. I mean, there are definitely good songs on there. It's never really stuck with me. I definitely should revisit it though. It's been forever.
I don't know. I just think I'd prefer like the later Beatles discog where they were kind of throwing stuff at the wall.
The really early stuff. I mean, there are obviously a ton of great singles, but
right. But
you can just listen to the one compilation for some of that stuff. I don't know if you need to sit through all those albums.
Right. If you're a big Beatles fan, I definitely would recommend listening to them. But they are a little bit like pop rocky, like all of them, same vibes, but. Mm-hmm. You can tell, like, the band has promise from them, like...
Exactly.
Like, because a lot of the songs are amazing, like, pop tunes.
Yeah. That's when they got... I mean, they were pretty much that successful, like, from the jump. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, there's definitely a reason for that.
And, like, if you look at pictures of the Beatles, like after, what is it, 64 or 3, when they were on the Ed Sullivan, I think it was, like, 63. But they just were in, like, superstar. I mean, like, you know, it would be, like, girls were, like just wetting themselves in the audience. Like no, for real. Yeah. Like there's stories of the Beatles saying like they couldn't hear Ringo. Like they would have to look at Ringo because it was so loud. And they said like they'd go in a room and it'd just reek of like sweat and piss. Because girls were so excited. Like they were literally like it's a sex symbol beyond like comprehension. Even though they're just the Beatles.
Yeah. I mean, they're not even objectively but like good looking dudes.
Right. Right. Paul McCartney's the pretty one, right? Isn't that what they say?
And then, yeah, I guess so.
But but even though the Beatles had that type of success, like, almost straight out the gate, like, 3 years after they formed, like, I'm pretty sure they're at the height of their popularity when they disbanded, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of an interesting thing to think about, even though I don't think about it that way, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting to see, like, I don't know, by Abbey Road, they were just, like, at the peak of their
time. Yeah, I mean, that really is impressive. I mean, for them to do something like this, like, it's remarkable to me that, like, massive popular audiences just really like something like this. Like, it's remarkable to me that the White Album sold.
And that's, like...
And was well-received.
That's why I really like it, is that because they were, like, their other stuff is a lot more accessible,
mm-hmm.
like, they were just able to make a widely acclaimed...
Exactly.
Like, I feel like people, critics would have... I'm pretty sure they didn't like this when it came out, right? Or maybe that was...
It might have been a little mixed reaction, right. But, I mean, for them to... I mean, like, who else could sneak Revolution 9?
Yeah, into a Beatles album. That's just crazy to me that they would do that. I just think it's cool that they realized how popular they were. I don't know. That's just what I like about the White Album.
Glass Onion, man. I mean, it's like poking fun at fan interpretations of lyrics.
Right. Yeah. And which John Lennon has done before. Like, I'm the Walrus. Like, the lyric about sitting on a cornflake. Like...
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I remember reading that he wrote that just to, like, throw off lyricists to try to find meaning in that.
Yeah.
Like, I love that they do that.
Yeah.
Excellent album.
Really is an excellent album. Highly, highly recommend. All right.
So I think that's all we have to say about the White Album by the Beatles. I think
so, too. So I'm Adam Barrow.
I'm Benjamin Richardson.
And this has been our episode on the Beatles' self-titled album. Thanks for listening.